This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. Last week, Julian Crandall-Hollick paused on his five-month journey down Ganga, the Ganges River, to examine the mystery of its purifying waters. As he continued his journey, Julian reached West Bengal. There, the river turned south toward the Bay of Bengal, 300 miles away. In 1970, the Indian government built a huge dam, what Indians call a barrage, to control the flow of Ganga. The dam sits near the border with Bangladesh. It's known as the Faraka Barrage. And as Julian Crandall-Hollick tells us, it has caused huge problems. Today's installment is called simply Faraka.
We've been rowing a steady 30 miles a day now for 2 weeks. The river's as broad as an ocean and lonely. Very few signs of human life. To the untrained eye, the back of beyond. Except, of course, it's not. There must be millions of people living in villages on either bank. They just live with their backs turned away from the river. That all changes the instant we cross over to West Bengal. It's teeming with activity, and I've never really figured out why. My friend Kalyan Rudra, a geography professor in Calcutta, has asked us to meet him 20 kilometers north of Faraka at a village called Panchanandapur. On the map, it appears to lie well inland. But when we reach Panchanandapur, we find it's right on the banks of Ganga.
You're saying the river used to be here?
Yeah. The river was initially flowing along this channel. But since the construction of this barrage, the river has an increasing tendency to migrate eastward.
This took how many years to migrate this river to shift?
It took about 30 years to migrate.
And how far is the distance?
This is about 9 kilometers at this point.
So you're saying the Ganga here shifted eastward 9 kilometers, which is what, about 5 to 6 miles, in 30 years.
30 years.
At this rate, Panchanandapur could disappear into Ganga at any moment. That evening, Rahul Islam sings a traditional Bengali lament, how Ganga has destroyed everything he owns here in Panchanandapur. Afterwards, I sit with Jalaluddin Ahmed, our host.
When did the Ganga here start eroding Panchanandapur?
Erosion started since 1961. It was a prosperous agricultural village. The people largely depend on agriculture. We had very extensive mango orchards. We have bamboo groves. And we were very prosperous and happy. But everything was swallowed by the river. It is about 17 acres of land I have lost into the river. It was mango orchards and also rice cultivating field. Everything disappeared in front of me, and I witnessed helplessly all this devastation.
Indigo factory, sugar mill, hospital, all swallowed up by Ganga. Last year, the police station and a two-story government building. But something very strange has happened. Ganga shifted so fast and so much, the same land has now re-emerged on the far side of the river. And many villagers now take a boat across every morning to their old farmland. Some, like Jaffa Ahmed, have even moved permanently to the new sandbanks or charlands, 6 miles on the other side as the crow flies.
My original home was eroded by the Ganga, and I was compelled to migrate here.
How many people live here?
There are about 5,000.
And you consider you're in West Bengal here, right?
We are
keen to live within the territory of West Bengal, but government of West Bengal does not recognize us.
So, no legal title, even though surveyors have found many of the old boundary markings. Then, things become positively Kafkaesque.
Government of West Bengal declines to accept the tax I want to pay.
We are already ready to pay.
Refuses to accept no taxes. Mohammed Fakir Ali weighs up the other pros and cons.
The advantage is that land here is very fertile. Disadvantage is that
I have no citizenship. My children do not have any educational facilities.
No citizenship means he can't vote, because if Calcutta recognizes these people exist on this new char or sandbank, not only would they have to provide those basic services, but also they'd have to register them to vote. Ah, but who would get their votes? The ruling party is not sure, so the land and the people remain in legal limbo. Back in Panchanandapur, Kidder Books says the rich can always find new housing in the nearby town of Malda. It's the poor who have to survive in tents till their land re-emerges on the far side of Ganga.
Why do you think the river is trying to make Panchanandapur disappear? What's
the reason? The big
reason and the main reason is Farakka.
Next morning, we set out for Farakka. Ganga's now awfully broad and flat. She divides and subdivides, and for the first and only time, we lose our way. The waters suddenly become very clear. All trace of current a mere suggestion. There's a hazy stillness, the feeling of rowing across a vast pond to nowhere. Our captain, R.K. Sinha, peers into the haze.
You can see it?
This is Baraj. We are at Farakka now.
Farakka was built at the narrowest point on Ganga, just 2.5 kilometers wide, to divert water to Calcutta down south and flush out the silt that was clogging up its port. Great idea on paper, but it hasn't worked out in practice. Calcutta port is still silting up, and Graham Chapman, one of our scientists on board, says it's caused huge problems upstream.
It does almost beg a belief. I cannot understand that the scale of this problem was not anticipated. Either they had to have known from the start that they had engineering solutions, or maybe the project shouldn't have been completed or even started.
Yeah, but you haven't spelt out what the scale of the problem was.
Well, the scale of the problem was siltation upstream of the barrage. It could render the whole barrage completely useless within a few years.
All rivers, especially monsoon rivers, erode their banks. They carry rocks and earth downstream, and then they deposit them whenever and wherever they hit an obstacle. Now, Ganga's traditionally meandered back and forth within clearly defined boundaries, but Farakka's like a solid wall. It's upset the dynamics of Ganga, exaggerated her annual swing.
The Farakka carries more than 700 million tons of silt annually, and large part of this sediment is being trapped in the upstream of the area. The Farakka has created a pond there.
So much sand has been dropped behind the barrage that half its gates can't open. They're clogged up with silt. And worse, the silt has raised the riverbed more than 20 feet. So Ganga now has to flow its final few kilometres uphill into the barrage, forming a clear, still shallow pond behind. And there's a potentially more devastating consequence that affects Panchanandapur.
But now, the river is trying to totally alter its course.
Kalyan says things began to get worse soon after Farakka was built.
The river has become so choked or clogged with the sediment load, and millions of tons of boulders are being added into the riverbed every year. And the ruins of these villages are also added into the river. So river cannot flow along this channel. It tries to open a new channel, outflanking the barrage.
Flowing through Panchanandapur is a small country river called Pagla. All that's now separating Pagla from Ganga is a massive stone embankment. And Kalyan says if that ever collapses, Ganga would flow into Pagla and totally change course, head off to the north 10, 20, even 30 kilometres, and bypass the famous barrage before rejoining its old course, but this time well inside Bangladesh. Not everyone agrees.
Ganga can never flow down through Pagla.
P.K. Parawa is the former chief engineer at Farakka. Parawa believes Pagla's simply too small to become the new course of Ganga.
So if somebody apprehends that Ganga will bypass Pagla and go down, making the barrage obsolete for its purpose, for the specific purpose for which it has been constructed, I do not believe. It will never happen.
Never is a dangerous word. P.K. Parrow does agree Faraka's ruined the lives of millions of fishermen upstream because there's no fish ladder to help fish migrate upriver past the barrage, and the once vigorous river economy has all but ceased to exist. But Parrow's proud. Calcutta port's still open for small cargo ships. Manotar Shah, who was born here in Panchananapur, begs to differ.
To protect the Calcutta port, Faraka Barrage was created. But at the time of the creator, they don't know the consequences after the construction of the barrage.
The house in which Manotar Shah was born collapsed into Ganga just 4 months back.
You don't stop the flow of the river. You don't stop him. You learn to live with the nature, with the river. You cannot control him.
Manotash warns me that if I come back here next year, I may find nothing. A few months later, I return to Panchananapur. It's now a vast bomb crater filled with water.
This happened when the Ganga was not flowing above the Rinjal level.
So it just eroded?
Just eroded.
The riverbank crumbled. Two-thirds of the village collapsed into Ganga. Tajmal Haq had been farming that day on the sandbanks across the river.
When we came back in the evening, there was nothing wrong. We slept, and about 2 a.m. in the midnight, somebody cried that erosion has started. We came out and our home disappeared into the river.
But why? Why did Ganga suddenly swallow up Panchananapur? The simple answer is that it had nowhere else to flow when it hit Faraka.
So there is a conflict between backward rushing flow and downward flowing the river. We have changed the hydraulic gradient of the river. And during the peak of the monsoon, the effect of backrush increases.
And it meets the flow coming down
and flow
tries
going
to find
an alternative route.
Sideways.
And once Ganga had breached the embankment, she poured down into Pagla for several hours until the two rivers were at the same height.
But if we adopt this one, it will simply outflank the barrage.
I presume if this does happen and it outflanks Faraka, Faraka could become just a white elephant.
If Ganga opens the outlet, outflanking the barrage, then the entire project will be redundant, because the feeder canal will be totally dried up. So this multi-million rupees project, which is now treated as a national asset, will be totally redundant.
I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in Panchananapur, West Bengal. Karoilam ghate bhanushe
boshilopate. Faraka was edited and produced by Tina Morris and Fernando Ruiz del Prado. The interpreters were Raja Chatterjee and Kalyan Woodra. Special thanks to Surav Surangi for permission to use excerpts from his film Bangon, or Erosion. Julian's account of the whole trip, Ganga, a journey down the River Ganges, has just been published by Island Press. You can hear earlier installments of the series and view pictures and a map at our website, npr.org.
Ganga is made possible with a major grant from the National Science Foundation.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.